couldn't find the bleed. I think I lost 4 pints of blood on the way to the hospital. Total pints of blood, I think, was 24 or 26. And they had to, you know, they basically counted me out. They called my family. My brothers flew into town. A lot of my friends were here for my birthday, so they were all up there. They let them all in the room because they thought I wasn't going to make it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jay Croft, and welcome to the Optimal Aging Podcast, where we discuss the business of exercise, healthy living, and well-being for people 50 and over. Each week, we explore what healthy living means for millions of people over age 50 and what's coming next, with a focus on communications, content, and making powerful connections.
Have you ever had a near-death experience? Something where you came so close to dying that your doctors told you it was almost a miracle that you survived? I have not, but this week's guest on the Optimal Aging Podcast has, and he's here today to tell us about it and to talk about how it's relevant to providing fitness and health and well-being service to people over 50. Ricky Banks is a 57-year-old gym owner and bodybuilder near Atlanta. He is in spectacular physical condition and enjoys a healthy lifestyle. But earlier this year, Ricky was rushed to a hospital in the middle of the night where he spent a few days in a coma while doctors tried to stop severe stomach bleeding. They gave him 50-50 odds of surviving. And when it was all over, they told Ricky that his fitness level helped save his life. Now, you don't have to be a spectacularly built fitness professional for this principle to apply to you or to your vast audience of prospects and customers. It's a simple fact that staying in shape with basics like an appropriate weight and healthy blood pressure help us survive medical emergencies and traumas. And after 50, we're more likely to face those, from ER visits to planned joint replacements. So listen to Ricky tell his story today and let it remind you of the literally life-saving work that you do every day. Take that message out to your community. You never know how far it will reach. Here is my conversation with Ricky Banks.
Our average age, I guess, would be anywhere from 45 to about 73, I think, 74, as far as our members doing personal training. Speaking of, I have a lady in here, I think she's in her early 70s, and she's become a power lifter. And, yeah. And what a joy to see her come in here and work out. Yes.
And then I know you have Betty, right? Is Betty still coming in?
Betty, that's, yes, that's Robert's client, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, she's even, I don't even want to speak her age, but yeah, she's amazing.
She's amazing.
Yes.
So it's a significant part of your business to include people who are a little bit older. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I have people that come in here and they, you know, if I'm at the front desk, if I'm working the front desk and they're like, I think I'm too old to get into it, this and that. And they say they're 55. I'm like, dude, I'm 57. I said, see that lady over there? She's in her 60s. You know, it's never too late. It's always a time to start. The longer you wait, the harder the process. You know,
That's right. Well, you know, that's my message all the time in my content that I'm putting out to the gyms is just what you just said. And you are living proof of that. What kind of, I'm just curious, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but when someone like that says that to you and you say, well, hey man, I'm older than you are and I'm doing it, what kind of response do you get from people? You know, because you're a bodybuilder, you're a very muscular guy. So someone who maybe hasn't been active in a long time, are they ever intimidated by that? Or do they think that, how does that make them feel? I'm just curious.
No, I haven't run across anybody that was intimidated. They're more at awe at the fact of my age and my fitness level. And when I run across somebody like that, and they do decide to become a member, I'll walk them through a workout and just, I don't care if they're just coming in here just to work out on their own or, you know, do personal training or, you know, our high octane group training. I'm going to let them know that, hey, I'm your age or older and this can be done, you know, and there's times I've won online and saw guys that are my age and show them pictures of these people I see online, like, hey, they can do it, you can do it. Nothing's right. impossible. If you have a goal and you put your mind to it, we can do it. We can make short-term goals. You got a vacation? All right, let's make that our short-term goal. But at the end, we got a long-term goal. That's to make this a life change.
Well, before we move on to what happened, tell me about the upcoming location.
Okay, so our upcoming location is going to be in Alpharetta. It's border Alpharetta and Milton, which is a great location. I think there's plenty of opportunity over there. Plenty of people that would love to see a facility like we have. What's going to set us aside from any other facility over there is what we have to offer. A lot of people that I'm seeing don't really want to see that big box feeling. They don't want to go into a big box, a corporate gym. They want to come to a gym where my trainers are going to know you. I'm going to know what you're doing outside of here. I'm going to invite you to go out to dinner. I'm going to know your first name. I'm going to know your kids. You know, I'm going to know what vacation you went on, you know, and that's what we're going to do up there. You know, we're going to do the one-on-one training, the group training, the HIIT classes. And like I was saying, what really sets us apart is, you know, you can have a membership and come in here and work out and enjoy that community feel, that personal touch from us. And you can also do personal training and have a gym membership here and work out instead of going to a small personal training studio and having to train there and then have a gym membership at another big box. You can all make that in one place and become part of the personal touch that you're going to receive here.
Yeah, that seems to be what people are looking for. Again, I deal mostly with people over 50. And so maybe I can't really speak as much to younger people, but I know by the time you're my age, I don't want the big box. And I don't want some random kid behind the counter who doesn't know my name and who doesn't treat me with respect. And, you know, I want some services, but I don't want my hand held all the time. It's a good balance. And I've been to your place a few times and you do that really well.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks.
Okay. So congratulations again on the new place. And now let's get to what happened. A few months ago, you had a near-death experience. And I believe the physicians told you when it was over that your fitness level was one of the reasons that you made it. And so I'm going to be quiet now because it's your story and it's a great one. And I'd like you to just tell it in your own way.
Yeah, Jay, it's definitely an amazing, a blessing story. And, you know, and I'll add this to it. On April 7th was my birthday, my 57th birthday. And for some reason over the last few years, as I become older, I've always had that fear of, you know, you ever hear how people die on their birthday or the day after or the day before, you know, or something like that. And as later in my life, I've always feared that. And look what happened. That fear came knocking on my door 2 a.m. in the morning on April 8th, you know. And, you know, I've had a history of ulcers when I was younger. They would just flare up out of nowhere. Never knew I had them. And they would just bleed a couple times. You know, first time I had it, I fainted. We were traveling from Florida. I was a good thing. I was 17 and got sick. Ambulance to the emergency room. It kept me for a few days. Then ever since then, they would just come and go. No sign, no warning or anything. So back then, I think when I was 18, 19, in between college and high school, my doctor back then decided to cut that portion of my stomach out. And I was fine all these years up until about last year, which would have been 2021, late 2021. It started coming back again. A couple mornings I got up to get something to drink, 1 o'clock in the morning, get up, fainted a couple times. The next thing I know, I'm, you know, passing blood and, you know, losing blood and go to the emergency room. They do a upper GI. They see traces of blood, but could not see any more blood. So, you know, the upper GIs have all that done. And so this day, it was 2:30. I woke up, had an urge to go get up out of bed for some reason, and went to the bathroom. And a bathroom ended up looking like a crime scene, blood everywhere. So just so happened, I had friends at my house. They were in town for my birthday and chose to go to, I had two hospitals. One was about 3 miles away. The other one was about 5 miles away. And something told me to go to the one that was 5 miles away, which is further up 400, and decided to go there. Didn't call an ambulance because they would have took me to the other one. And so before getting to the exit, I passed out, got to the hospital. They took me in. I came through and did not realize how serious it was. I thought it was just another episode. Hey, had a bleed. They're going to do upper GI. They're not going to see, they're going to see trace of blood, but they're not going to find the bleed. It's going to stop. So fortunately, this one did not stop bleeding. So one thing the nurse said is, hey, you know, he's got, the chances are slim, but, you know, he's got one of the best surgeons that we have on staff. I mean, you're looking at me like, yeah, it was that serious, Jay. And so they put me in, I'm still catching the pieces of it. They put me, I end up having to go into an induced coma. And the strangest thing about this was that because they couldn't stop the bleed, so they put me in an induced coma. But while I was in this coma, so I literally was laying there and I could not move, but I can hear voices around me.
Yeah.
I mean, I can literally hear voices. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? This is what I'm thinking. What's going on here? I'm like, am I dead? Okay, that's my niece Tiffany's voice. That's Mike's voice. That's my buddy Kevin's voice. I don't know that voice. I don't know that voice. Could not understand what they were saying, but I know these voices. So, and I'm saying, hey, do you guys not see me laying here? This is, I'm not speaking this. I'm thinking this. And I'm studying saying, what's going on? Somebody tell me something. And so finally, somebody walked in the room, and within seconds, everything went quiet. And next thing I know, I felt myself being rolled out of that room and can feel the presence of people on the side of me that were rolling me, but could not see them, could not hear them, couldn't, you know, I hear them talking. I don't know who they are. I don't know the voice, can't make out what they're saying. Then I remember us getting to a point where we stopped. I remember hearing the, some doors open and getting rolled into that. And then after that, I remember nothing. That was on Friday. I think early in the AM hours, maybe 5, 6, 7 o'clock, I guess, AM. And the next thing I know, it was Sunday in the evening time, and I came out of the coma. And still a little blank about it, but they let my friends in one by one, you know, my family in, my brother Michael, he hopped on a plane and was here in no time from Salt Lake City. And my he told my other brothers to stand by before they came, let's see what happens. And they're telling me what's going on. And, you know, and that's where we're at. And as time went on, you know, the doctors would come in and the nurses, and they couldn't believe that I survived what I went through. You know, a few of the nurses was like, you know, you are one lady that was a nurse practitioner. She came in that room and she's like, you know, you are definitely a miracle. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. And this and that. She said, I was one of the nurse practitioners that was in your surgery room, and I was working with the doctor, and you should not be here, you know. And then talking to the doctor and the other doctors that came in, they said basically, you know, my health level, my fitness level had a lot to do with the recovery. You know, I didn't have high blood pressure. My heart rate was good. Everything was good. And that helped a lot. If I'm not mistaken, it got down to seconds before the doctor had to call it quits before he found the bleed. He couldn't find the bleed, you know. So that's why I'm not, you know, I had a lot of people praying for me. You know, if you ever heard that word, you know, a prayer can save you a lot. And I have people standing in the gap for me. When you talk about a community, you talk about a community of people praying. And it's also a great doctor, man. This doctor was amazing. So God directed me not to go to that hospital emergency room that was 3 miles away, but to go to the one that was 4 or 5 miles away. Even as we were driving there, a buddy that was driving me, Mike said, hey, are you sure you don't want to go to that the one that was closer? And I'm like, nope, take me to this one. I honestly believe if I would have went to the one that was closer, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now. So
we'll be right back after a short break. Hey, everybody wants to bring in more money and to save time, right? Well, our friends at Nomly are here to help you improve your gym's communications with clients and grow your business. Join more than 300 fitness coaches who are doing more business with less work. Nomly helps to systematize and simplify gym operations by centralizing member data and communications so gym owners can increase their customer lifetime value, improve staff efficiencies, and raise the bottom line. This centralized communications tool helps you in lots of ways. It helps you orchestrate referral programs at the push of a button, helps you hold clients accountable with built-in two-way texting, and It lets you rest assured that all your clients' messages are being handled properly. Schedule a free consultation today at nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. That's Nomly, nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. Back to the show.
Okay, now let me ask you, how's everything now? It's been about, what, 4 months, I think? How's everything now?
July. Yeah, about almost 4 months. Everything's great, man. It was, I lost a lot of muscle mass. I don't carry a lot of body fat, so I lost like 20 pounds of muscle, some body fat too. What really helped me a lot was I knew I lost that weight. I didn't want to look in the mirror because I think I would have kind of looked at myself and that would have got me in a depressed state. Not one single one of my friends that came to visit me ever showed a look of concern, like they were worried about me not making it, even though they were worried, but they never showed that. They knew if they showed that would put me in a different state of mind, not in a fighter. And when I was in that coma, when I heard these voices, I'm saying to God, hey, I'm not ready to die, you know? And, you know, I said that I'm not ready to die, you know? And so even after I got home, well, another thing is then when I came out of the coma, I was fine. They moved me from intensive care to regular floor. And then all of a sudden I couldn't breathe. They had me on the breathing machine. I had caught pneumonia, and that was scary. You know, they didn't think I was going to pull through that. That lasted a couple days, maybe 2 or 3 days. Then I pulled through that. Then I got better. Then I came home.
It's interesting that they said that your health status and your physical condition contributed to your survival. Did they say anything or give any indication of what might have happened if you weren't in good shape?
Well, no, he didn't give any indication of that. But I mean, we can think of the opposite. If the only way I can take it is, you know, would he have said that, or would I have survived if I wasn't in good shape? So I really can't say. I do believe that played a major role in it. One, that I wasn't obese. One, that I didn't have high blood pressure, you know, anything like that.
And you're saying this as someone who's been in the fitness industry for many, many years. So you have experience with other people who have had serious health issues, right?
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Right. We see this a lot, you know, and then dealing with fitness for slightly older people, because even people who are in good shape, stuff happens because we're human beings and we're getting older, right? Maybe you're going to need a shoulder replacement or a hip replacement, or maybe you might have some other thing that happens just because we're on the earth for a certain amount of years, right? Tell me about, you know, both as a patient and as a fitness expert, what's the relationship there, you know, as far as if you're healthy and strong, you can prepare for surgery better so that your post-operative rehabilitation is shorter and more effective. You're going to need less recovery time. You're going to be less susceptible to all kinds of complications, right? I mean, these are just things that I've, in my research, I've come upon, because this is something that we encounter from time to time, that people who are healthy live longer. And we heard it a lot in COVID, you know, that older people who are overweight or smoke or have asthma or don't take care of themselves are more likely to get in trouble. What can you say about all that?
Well, everything you just said, it is a proven fact, because, you know, when you're filling out an application for insurance, everything you just asked, those are key questions they ask. And they ask those questions for a reason, because they know the percentage of you being unhealthy is based on what you answer. Yes, I smoke. Yes, I drink. I do this. I do that. You know, so those are true facts. Now, I don't smoke. I'm a social drinker. You know, I try to get anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of sleep, nothing over that. I eat fairly healthy, but I do go out of my regimen. You know, I'm human. But I do know in this experience that I went through that I'm trying to eat cleaner. Before this, I was all about being this big guy, muscle guy, you know, And I feel like I'm at the age where maybe my body can't handle all that. I'm not a tall guy. I'm not a big guy. I'm, you know, 5'7", 5'8". And I think I was at 180, 185 with probably about maybe 10 or 11, 12% body fat. And that's not bad. You know, now I'm hovering right around 170. And something keeps telling me to put that size back on, but I'm like, no, I'm fine with this. I just want to look fit, you know. And even people that see me now, they're like, you know, Rick, you don't look like you've been through anything. And, you know, don't get it wrong. When I came out the hospital and I went to put my shirts on, I was like, oh my God, you know, I had to go buy new shirts, you know.
Yeah.
And when you work out, man, it becomes a mind game for you. We become our biggest critics.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever been in the gym and you get used to wearing, we go based on how our clothes fit. You know, we don't go off that scale. If this shirt is fitting right around the chest and the arms, or these jeans are fitting the way they're supposed to fit, if they don't, I'll go through three or four outfits in one night trying to get dressed to go out, you know. And I think we all been through that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it's making me, it's making me appreciate the body that I have and what being more aware of what I'm putting in it.
Your story is really, it's really compelling and dramatic. And I'm sorry you had to go through that, but, obviously very glad that you're healthy now.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll add this, Jay, the other day I was at this event over here in Roswell and I'm talking to this lady and we're talking and, you know, and I'm telling her about, like, I'll see people and they say, man, you're so fit, this and that. And that's my opportunity to say, hey, I've only been back in the gym 2 months, or I've been back a month, you know, and they're like, no way. That I pull out pictures and say, this was me in April, you know, and tell them the story. And actually one guy came and signed up. He was like, I got to get back in the gym, you know, because if something happens, I want to be fit, you know. And I kind of missed this part of the story. And this is the most important part to me, man, where, you know, I feel like I got to this threshold and, you know, that threshold where either I was going to be sitting here with you or people were going to be standing over me at my funeral. And I feel like God didn't speak to me, but these are things that I feel like when I got to that threshold, he said, hey, you're not ready for me. I'm not ready for you, or I got more work for you.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right, man. All right, good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Aging Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Croft, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, I hope you'll subscribe, tell a friend, and write a review. All of that helps us grow our audience. I also hope you'll share any comments you have with me in an email or on social media, including suggestions for people I should interview or topics I should cover. You can learn more about me and my content business at primefitcontent.com. You can send me an email at j@primefitcontent.com. That's J-J-A-Y @primefitcontent.com. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So find me anywhere you like and be in touch. And again, thanks for listening. Join us next time.